Podcast. We are into semifinal week in the Ultimate Fantasy Football League. This is the Sixth Sense Podcast. I am Zach Cosby, and we will do a quick rip around this week as we only have the four quarterfinals to break down from week 14. We got a little bit of business to take care of from during the week leading up to the semifinal matchups. I'm assuming we will pick a mo and a dud. We have very few choices this week. So we'll do that and probably even pick the matchups as well. I didn't get enough time to wager on any of the quarterfinal matchups as I was going to really dig in and figure out how I could float $5 bets all around the board so that I would actually like just break even and have action on every matchup last week. But only one came down to the Monday Nighter. So we'll get to all that as we get to the week 14 recap. But as usual, we lead with the Commissioner Corner, but the introducer of the Commissioner Corner, introducer is a word, totally, is Andrew Kirkland. Kirky, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Yeah, it was an okay week, a little bit of a letdown. I thought there was going to be a little bit more closer or tighter matchups, but overall, I think we got the top four teams to win, right? So, that's obviously pretty good. And we're going to have some good intel and good analysis on this week's matchup. So I'm looking forward to digging right into it. But first, as always, let's bring in the commissioner himself from, I believe he's in the vault at Scotiabank Arena. First off, Yorkie, did you talk to Kawhi tonight?
I did.
How's he doing?
We had a bunch of stuff to get signed from him. So, Kirky, you're on for next year.
Yes. Good.
I did. I had to do a few things for Kyle for him, and then I had to get some stuff signed. So I got a finals jersey signed for
myself.
Well,
I'm glad to hear that Kyle's ahead of me. So it's all good, buddy. I've just known you since we're like 4 years old, but Kyle steps ahead of me in this line. So whatever. It's all good.
The hay in the feed sometimes.
Yeah. Okay, get right into it, buddy. I know you don't have much time.
So, live from Scotiabank Arena, outside of the locker room. It all hurts that the three of us are in the playoffs, but want to let everyone know that we want to make this the best fantasy football league possible. So I know there's been a lot of suggestions throughout the season on rule changes, what we should do, what we shouldn't do, waivers, feedback, etc. So while everything's on the mind, I know there's the four guys that are playing this week, but if everyone can start putting some thought together, Kirky and I don't want to wait until the fall to get everyone's feedback. We want to get everyone's feedback essentially after the season. We want to start making rule changes right after the season. So guys, it's fresh in their mind, what worked, what didn't work, team defenses, et cetera, kickers, Cosby. Waivers. We all thought waivers went pretty well. Or maybe the only thing we might change if the guy gets dropped and plays on a Thursday night, they might be available right away because of the one-day waiver, 24-hour waiver period, etc. So everyone start putting some thought together. I know the big four got some big semifinals coming up, a lot of money on the line, but we want to get keep this great momentum going. It's been a great season, not for the three of us on the field wise, but we definitely have 14 managers that really care and bring passion, especially to the WhatsApp group. For those that will be in attendance next week at Bondo's, I look forward to seeing everyone. Hey, Ozzy, I did you a huge favor tonight. I'm still waiting for my favorite backs, a little tidbit into next week. We might share a few stories, and I got a story on for Kawhi for everyone next week. So that's it for me for right now. I will chat with you boys next week. Good luck for the final four.
Before you go, you talk about getting people thinking about kind of rule changes and whatnot. Like, are you going to send out an official email and people can have submissions? Because if you open that up to a guy like Hendry, you know, expect like 24 stupid rule changes. And if you don't do one of them, he'll get pissed.
I'll definitely send an email out once the season ends. But I just want to start getting in people's head that we're already thinking about next year and how we can make this league better. I think we're pretty good. We think this might be the first year we don't have anyone pull out. We have to make a fifth division with a manager's name. But other than that, Rookie of the Year, Glader, congrats. You're up against some stiff competition.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, all right, fellas, you got to run. You go.
That's it.
Get Kawhi's jersey. Just get that. Okay.
That one actually will actually have to go to the league.
No. Yorkie's basement.
I have that one. The one he just signed. It's a finals one. It's better. Trust me.
That's jersey. Fine too. That's wonderful. Yeah. All right. Later.
See you, fellas.
Later, Airbuds.
All right, Kaz. So.
There's a lot to dissect from that. There's a lot going on there.
Yeah, it sounds like he's open, and I don't know what his take is on making. You know, obviously there's the submissions of rule changes, right? And you know them voting on them. Yeah. But it sounds like the one he was ready to almost instill himself, and that was that 24-hour waiver rule.
Yeah, which is interesting because I've been looking into it. I've been trying not to care, but I want to have Yorkie's back as much as possible, which I know is a very big shift in my take on commissioners, but only because I want to see if it's I haven't gone as far as asking a Yahoo chat person yet, but from what I have looked up, it might be tough for us to do that. So I just want to throw that out there. I don't want to get everyone's hopes up. Yorkie seems to think he can. I was kind of reading in the back. I don't know if we can do both free agents and waivers. Like, I don't know if we can do that. So we'll see. I'm hoping there is, because you can correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like my only thing was to lock it up on Sunday so that it's not just down to whoever's watching the starting running back play is the guy who coincidentally gets the other running back. Like that's literally my only thing was like, it's convenience, but it's also, it takes that sort of luck out of it, which I mean, obviously this shit is tough enough to win anyways. So if we can try and even it out a bit that way, then that would be great. But that's literally like that's what it comes down to. Or if a wide receiver is having a big day, he's not just anybody's guy because that guy was watching the Redskins Dolphins or something and got to see a guy go off. So that's where I am on waivers anyway.
Now, you know, and I totally 100% agree with you. That was the notion of why they want it. And that's why I wanted it, waivers. And I think that's why other guys didn't want it, because they knew they could sit on Sunday and watch it, i.e. Burnside and Bondo, right?
Yeah.
Now, but what Yorkie's proposing, if I'm understanding this correctly, is when a player gets dropped, they don't have to go on a 24-hour wait to go back within the waivers. So they can still play in that week, right?
Yes, exactly.
But you're saying that's not. You don't think
if they can just open up the window like that. I don't know if how the settings work, but I've searched several different ways to word it. Mm-hmm. And we'll see what happens. I mean, we should be able to customize it. They should be able to. I don't want to have to move platforms or services, because that's a whole other login to remember. I have enough logins already.
Well, you know what? You know, honestly, how this would all be solved, and I think you would agree this would be a good thing, is not have Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, seriously.
So stupid.
Yeah. Were they saying I don't follow it close enough. Were they saying if it was 19 weeks they wouldn't have Thursday nighters anymore or something?
Oh geez, I don't know.
I don't know. But yeah, if we're never gonna get rid of it. It's so much TV money. It's ridiculous that they make. They're making so much money. Anyway, that's where I'm at. I mean, I hope we can customize it, but I didn't want everyone to get their hopes up. We'll see.
Right.
Because we wouldn't want to lose the 3 a.m. club, which we'll get to later on as well.
Well, yeah. Well, we may as well get right into that, like kind of doing a recap. So I'm looking at the Google Docs and some really good intel and structure to this podcast. So I'm really looking to get into it. So the week 14 recap is where we're going to kick off. And I just want to we have written down here, Gleeder's rookie question. Cosby, what do you want to kind of enlighten?
Do you want to do that before or after we tell everyone what happened in the matchups?
Well, you know what? Okay, yeah, let's tease that later, but let's go through the matchups.
Okay.
And Where do you want
to
go?
I just know people are dying to figure it out. Maybe we go work our way back. So the one that came down to the Monday Nighter, I don't know how much you had an eye on that. Did you have an eye on that?
I had an eye on that, and I was basically watching it through the WhatsApp chat that JWL just kept messaging people.
I was trying to keep my mouth. That's the funniest thing about this is, like, I want to talk, but I also don't want to be, like, I know no one would ever accuse me of being at fault, but, like, sure enough, I was like, yeah, you just need Miles Sanders to do something, and the guy leaves with cramps, like, pretty much the moment I ended up sending the text. And like for to JWoww's credit, he kept the matchup alive. I think he only had like 60 points going into Monday night, but somehow still kept the matchup alive into the second half with Slayton, who should have had actually another touchdown. Eli hasn't played in a year and a half, but he threw that one. He let him out of bounds on another deep ball. So they almost hit three touchdowns in one half, those two, which is hilarious in itself. But that was the only thing keeping him alive. And then, of course, Zach Ertz iced it for Shooter McGavin, which is fitting, right? I mean, obviously it doesn't come down to one player, but this is his second round or third round pick. And you want your guys to be performing. And that's where I was at when I in the WhatsApp chat, when I was picking Hendry to win. So we can move off that one now probably, right? When maybe we go to Hendry, we'll segue.
Yeah, no, we can go to Hendry for sure.
So everyone asks who's going to win it all. And I basically just said Hendry out of the laws of, like, you keep saying it's his year. I know we have a running joke and everything about him, but the reason is he's basically quote unquote hit on every one of his first three picks. Mm-hmm. Like, we all gave him shit for the Derrick Henry. But he has, and Mahomes got hurt and he survived that. So he has his top three picks clicking in Michael Thomas, Patrick Mahomes, and Derrick Henry. And you got to imagine a lot of those, even the guys in the playoffs, have had some trouble with at least one of those guys. And he got through his with Mahomes, and Mahomes just happens to be one of the best scorers. So that's where I was at when I was picking him. And then he ended up hanging on to beat Bondo, who just had guys just dropping. I don't even know. I was going to say dropping like flies.
So, super guys, obvious, do you know the running back situation in Oakland very well? Because Bondo has three of them.
Right.
Jalen Richard, D. Washington, and Josh Jacobs, which Jacobs didn't play, I guess.
Yeah, that was the worst. That was the biggest. Well, the biggest blow was Evans going down, but Evans still got him 13. But right. Yeah.
But, and this is what I always like looking at. And again, you know, it's easy. Hindsight's 20/20. But if Bondo had played Washington over Richard,
he probably knows that. Do you think he knows?
Of course he knows that. I just want everyone else to know that. But I don't think you make that play, right? Like,
no,
you can't do that when I don't know. Like, it's not like either of them are putting up points because Jacobs was the running back there. But then when he didn't play. You got to make a tough decision,
you just got to throw. And he went for the PPR guy, which makes complete sense. Like, according to the projections, he had a guy who's going to get 3.23 or a guy who's going to get 4.29.
Yeah.
And all this was because Tevin Coleman just, like, decided to go into the witness protection program or something. I don't know what he's doing in San Fran. Mm-hmm. But, like, yeah, that's just, that's the worst part. And then, obviously, he had Parker go down as well. And that's a theme we'll get to as we preview the next week as well, but like just a lot of these guys going down for him. And I mean, you got to tip your hat though to Hendry for still putting up a 150 in this matchup with some would wonder Mahomes, how he got there. But
well, yeah, and Mahomes only getting 19 points,
right? Yeah, Mahomes got held down, but like I said, Michael, like his first round pick has been his first round pick all year. 30 points again from Michael Thomas, and then Derrick Henry again shows up even with a bad hamstring. He still puts up nearly 24, and then the rest of his guys just keep pulling their weight and on to the next one for Luke. So, and on to the next one for us. Where do you want to go next?
So we'll go to Burnside and Gleeder. I don't know if you want to bring up the rookie thing in this one. You know what? Actually, screw that. We'll go to Yaney and G&J.
Okay.
And we'll go back to the other one. So just to recap, in the first matchup we talked about, all three of us last week had Shooter McGavin winning, and that is what came out. We all had Bondo winning against
Okay. I believe.
So we were wrong on that one. But it's Bondo's fault because he picked the wrong running back, and he should be going on. So he can't Knockout.
Well, that's one of those ones, Kirky. That's where I was like, I was listening to you guys, and I was like, if I float out, hey guys, the first five takers, I'll bet you $5 or $10 that Patriot Luke wins. Beats Bondo. If I get five guys to do that, then I turn my tens everywhere turn into whatever. Like, it's basically no value in it, is what I'm saying. But, like, I was just, like, just to make it interesting, I was, like, going against the grain on a couple of these to see if I could just make $100 or something.
Oh, geez. Well, there's I now.
But then I pictured
something like that. I guarantee you mentioning something like that now, it's going to stir up something coming forward in the next week. With J-Well not really in, he's looking for some action.
Yeah. Obvious,
and a leader wants something going on, right?
So. Yeah. My fear of doing it was I was going to float it out for every matchup, but then having only like a couple of guys take the ones I actually wanted to win, and then all five guys would take the one I would probably lose, and then I'd fucking be out a bunch of money. But anyway, that was the only way I was having fun last week. And Gleeder didn't have a ton of fun either watching Burnside's team just go banana sandwich.
Right. All right, well, moving on to the third
matchup.
We didn't even say what happened.
Oh, yeah, that's the third matchup. Okay,
no. Yeah, Yaney versus G&J.
Right.
CMC Music Factory versus G&J. I had a call. I said, G&J, there's going to be a reversion of the mean. He put a massive 240, highest week ever in the UFFL.
Came down to 123. Applause.
Yeah, no kidding. And then Yaney does what he's been doing all year, around the 160 mark, right? So almost right on his projections. And he did that with an offer. And a 7 on the defense. I think that's really hard to get 162 points with. You know, I think a lot of times when you get high points like that, you're going to get driven by the defense in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
And especially not have a snowman on board there, or an Ofer, I guess, not a snowman, but
a donut, a bagel, a bagel for our Jewish contingent listening.
Yeah.
That was with Jameis. That was with crab meat stealer, just putting your words back in your mouth there for you.
Well, and that's the thing. You're doubting them. I was doubting them big time, and I'm not confident in them.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely.
I can't see a guy, Jameis Winston being on a starting quarterback on a fantasy football winning team. So we'll see. But obviously, we'll get into that in the next week.
Before we get there, I was just because of what I said about Hendry, I was just kind of looking while you talked there about the first couple picks coming through for guys like McCaffrey gives him a 24. I think Keenan Allen was in the second round for him. And Devontae Freeman put up 20 for him. So his early picks went off. And then you go over to the other side, G&J, who couldn't pull through. And it was Devontae Adams, his first rounder, only puts up 8. And then you go from there, right? I mean, Chris Carson had 12. He would have been a third rounder, I imagine. And it's just how it is. Like the draft does actually matter in the end, it feels like, more and more as you look at these matchups. But as we get on to the last one there, so tell us what happened.
Well, so the last matchup is Burnside versus Gleeder. I had Gleeder. I thought I was riding Gleeder. I was calling the Vegas Golden Knights, leading him to the finals. Obviously, he disappointed me. That's no surprise. Gleeder disappoints me all the time. But you kind of mentioned the thing about riding the guys you draft high. But Burnside does this every year. And him and Bondo are kind of struggle out of the gate, right? In every single season, they get it together. And they, you know, as an example, Burnside, his quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, who's been lighting it up recently, 3 touchdown passes, 3
Hall of Famer.
Right? So, he definitely does it maybe a little bit differently than other GMs. He's very active. You know, his top pick was Elliott. He got him pretty late in the first round, and I think Mixon was
he stuck. That's the thing. He stuck with Zeke and Mixon, and they put up a 50 spot for him. So
at 190, he's looking in good shape here. 199.15 is a massive week.
Robert Woods finally paid the guy who was like black holding his son hostage or something, and fucking I don't know. This is bad. It's a bad reference. I don't actually know. There's something of all the random things. There's something actually going on with Robert Woods and his family. I don't think that was it, but I don't want anyone to speculate.
I don't know what that is all about.
Basically, he just came back to the planet as well. Like he was off in space doing nothing, and then decided that the last couple of weeks have been a 30 and a 25. So,
So
he takes down Gleeder. Yeah. So the semis are set, and we'll get to them in a bit.
So now, speaking of Gleeder,
okay.
let's get the Gleeder's rookie question. You want to provide some insight as to what that's all about?
To paraphrase for Gleeder, he was just asking, now that I'm out, can I make moves? Was his question on WhatsApp. And then Hendry was very gentlemanly and polite about it, so I didn't have to answer. And no one else answered. But basically, Hendry was like, yeah, probably don't do it. And my answer would have been a flat no. And it's a valid question because you don't know how the action works, right? But I don't know if it's even been a spoken thing for us now that they think about it. So his question was even more valid because I don't even know if we have stated anything anywhere in the league. But I think from the very beginning, I don't remember a single year where once you're out of the running that you pick a guy up. I don't think that's ever happened. So I think we kind of just answered the question ourselves through our actions. Gleeder's question was, can I drop an ad, guys, to make my roster better, even though I'm in the consolation bracket? And we would all agree that don't mess with the guys that are still in. Which is an interesting debate, Kirky. Like, I'll get your thoughts on it, but it does obviously broaden the pool for these four teams that are left.
Right. Well, I think I don't know when we did it, but as Yorkie, I think, alluded to this at one point in the WhatsApp chat, that, fifth position was in the running, right?
We never paid out fifth. I think we asked if fifth wanted to be paid out.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, I think it was one of the questions, off-season questions, was should fifth be paid out? Yorkie's comment was like, because fifth goes 2-1 in the playoffs, should they get, but like, you're going 2-1 against a team that got, you're winning the last matchup against a team that got beat, right? So,
right. I thought at one point we did have, maybe in the first season.
You need to be sure about this kind of stuff. I got to tell you, as the guy who handles the money.
Well, there's just money going around everywhere.
So much interest.
So much interest. Anyways, I feel like there was at one point, I'll look back at my notes and my payment plans. Anyways, I agree with you. We shouldn't, there should be no movements going on. Don't wreck it for the guys that are in it right now. So that kind of leads us into the 3M club. And what is Delly doing? What is Delly doing? So what was going on at 3M? There's actually a lot of action.
There was no one in the actual club. I think it was all waivers. So the club was closed.
Yeah.
Lost their liquor license because they overserved Aussie last week in Burnside.
Yeah, no, there wasn't. I think the closest person was Hendry up at 4:44 a.m. Picking up Baker Mayfield.
I feel like he's blocking. Does he play Burnside?
I don't know. I think he does.
Yeah, I think it's a 1-4. I think he plays Burnside. Yeah, so now he thinks he's outsmarting Burnside by picking up a quarterback. Amazing.
What, he doesn't think Burnside's going to roll with Tannehill?
He probably will, but he's just whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, he's trying to be smart. But honestly, at this point, I don't really blame.
Oh, you got to. This is for the big shit. Like I said, this is tough to do. So however these guys want to play it.
Burnside answered back with a Benny Snell Jr. pickup.
Yeah, who's been just like, he's been Benny Snell's Airbnb for the last like fucking 5 weeks, like just collecting fucking weekly rent off of him. That's it. He drops him on Saturday. Fucking guy.
And then Delamere picking up the Hawks defense.
Yeah.
Playing Carolina in Carolina this weekend. So, some interesting moves. But yeah, those are not waiver pickups. They were free agent pickups. But yeah, there was Hendry had a waiver claim picking up Brian Hill and then dropped him, dropped him an hour later. So it was just
uncontested.
Uncontested. Elshon Jeffrey was dropped.
Waiver bids wise.
Garoppolo. So this is interesting. Yaney picked up Garoppolo.
After that massive, what a game that was. And then Kamara, fucking Delly sneaks through to the semis with Kamara getting no touchdowns in like a game that had 94 points in it.
Yeah. So I'm not sure who the Bucks are playing this weekend, but Jimmy G is going up against at home versus Atlanta. So, you know, maybe Jameis, I'll eat my words later. Maybe Jameis will not be a starting quarterback.
This is interesting. I somehow Hendry won two waiver claims over Yanny in the same waiver period. So I hope Yanny really likes Garoppolo.
Oh, that's who we went with. You're talking about all these.
The waiver bids, yeah. So we got the only two that went to bid were Tyler Higbee. Sellers. Yeah, Tyler Higbee was to Hendry. And then Breshad Perriman, who is an interesting pickup now that Mike Evans is down. So that was kind of the theme, actually, as if we're ready to move on to this week's matchups.
Yeah.
But a lot of these guys, Kirky, get into the semis despite a lot of these injuries. Like,
oh, yeah. I know.
Hendry had Calvin Ridley went down for Luke. He's adorably got Baker Mayfield in the lineup.
Is this head games?
Oh my god.
Oh no, you know he did that. He's doing that because he just want and Mahomes is playing at home against Denver.
So, he wants his projection to be lower.
Yeah, no, he's trolling us right now. That's what he wants. He wants us to talk about this. So Hendry, yeah, what Baker Mayfield is. Everyone knows.
Oh my god, he's going to start Baker Mayfield.
What is he going to do? Like, get out of here.
what a clown. You know who Burnside's most afraid of those? Patrick Laird on Hendry's team.
Yeah.
Hendry's going for you know what it is? He's going for the whitest roster. He's trying to have the whitest roster possible. He's got Jack Doyle. Oh, man.
Derrick Henry did not practice today.
He's been interesting one. Like I said, so yeah, that was the one. So Hendry loses Derrick Henry and Calvin Ridley in the same week, still pulls through. Who did Burnside have to deal with? I feel like he had someone else go down too. Oh, he's been dealing with Evan Ingram all year.
Right.
So that's a tough one. And then are we going to move on to the other one, or we'd pick this one and then we'll talk about the injuries?
Let's pick this one. Let's do this matchup. So, I'll start this one. I think it's a slam dunk. It's going to be Hendry. with Mahomes against Denver and his defense against Cincinnati, Patriots know all the plays right now of the Bengals.
Yeah, they're fuck on to Cincinnati.
Yeah. So I got to hand it to Hendry. What I want to know, though, is there, like, I just get interesting. So, I'll look this up while you, Cosby, you want to pick a winner on this one, but okay. Go for it.
I said Hendry would win it all, so I probably shouldn't go back on that. If he doesn't get too cute here, he should take it down. And not because of anything against Burnside's team. I don't know if Robert Woods comes back to earth against Dallas. That whole game actually will be very interesting. That'll probably be the primetime game on TV, so that'll be good. Mixon against New England. I mean, Belichick just stops your best player, and that's what Mixon is. So it was a good run to this point, Burnside. But, yeah, I would say, even though I don't even like his name, Sammy's with Mahomes.
Yeah. The only other thing I like looking at here is, you know, on the Monday night or what's going on. So the only thing happening in this matchup on the Monday night is Jack Doyle, if Hendry plays him. I think he probably will. I don't know. He did pick up Higbee, so maybe he'll have Higbee. I don't know. You never know with Hendry.
He's got
guys on the bench that maybe play. But Jack
Doyle. He doesn't even know.
No, he doesn't know. I don't think it'll matter. I think it'll be over by 4 o'clock, maybe by the Sunday nighter, because he does got Michael Thomas going on the Monday nighter too, which is obviously a big guy. But
yes,
I think Hendry's going to win handily in this one. So, and the other thing with a guy going 200 is always a reversion of the mean, yes. Right? So Burnside went 200 last week. So
although his playoffs were impressive last year, I think he had a bunch of points all the way through. So
right.
It's all about peaking at the right time.
Unanimous. It's Hendry on this one, which doesn't necessarily bode well because we're not good at picking things.
No.
But if we look at the next matchup, speaking of injuries, this one is just riddled with because notable questionables.
Yeah, three each questionables. And these are guys, I think they also lost dudes last week as well. So it's pretty bananas.
Yeah, okay. So you want to break this one down first, Cuz?
Sure. You've got, yeah, whether or not he plays Jameis, we'll see. That would that being Yanny, Jameis at Detroit is a lovely matchup. Get him on the racetrack there, even though he lost Mike Evans. DJ Chark has been one of the waiver darlings. We'll see. I don't know if he can keep it up. How did he do last week after? Yeah, he came back to life a little bit after a few down weeks. With the Minshew mania.
Did not practice today.
Yeah, so he's been injury related as well. And then the rest, I mean, outside McCaffrey, Keenan Allen hasn't been amazing, and then the rest are kind of dice rolls here. Like, you just have to see what's going to happen. Like, Kyle Shanahan's amazing at scheming people open, so Debo Samuel's been coming to life of late as well. I like the matchup for Baltimore. Never believe in Thursday night defenses. I can't believe I just gave defense analysis. We'll move on to the other side. Like you were saying, Kirkland, I think maybe it's just the best quarterback is the one who comes through here, Lamar Jackson. And then you got Kamara on the Monday nighter.
Is going to light up. Lamar's going to light up on Thursday night.
Early returns have, early projections have Leonard Fournette running from all the way from Oakland back to Jacksonville in this one. He's going to just fucking bring every football with him. And then, Raheem Mostert has been playing unbelievable of late as well. So the three running back strategy might work with Ertz in there, even though this reality show of receivers that Delly's got going, it's just like the real world of fantasy football receivers. Jersey Shore or something. They follow these guys around to see if they even fucking make a play this week. But that's Christian Kirk, DK Metcalf, and Mike Williams. So we'll see what he gets out of those guys. But I think Lamar will carry him along with his running back trio.
For the sake of
lone wolfing it,
having a little bit of a debate here, I got Yanny on this one. Okay. And the only reason for this is because I think Yaney's going to make the right decision with a lot of these players. I think Yanny overall, to your point, has, I believe, the better team. Other than his running backs, having AP on his number two running back, mm-hmm. I do think Yanny's team is better. I think... I don't know if I'd go back to Winston. I can't believe we talked about Jameis Winston so much in this podcast, but I think Garoppolo is going to have a massive week. That's not any advice, Yanny, because I don't want to be having the fact that he has to make this decision versus Winston versus Garoppolo is a tough one to me. Not one I would want to put myself into if I was Yanny, but he did.
I'd be like looking up stats on how good he plays when the grass is growing a certain way. Like that's how fucking much I'd be looking at this matchup.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But
they're both juicy too. Like the Lions Lions have laid down. The Niners are fucking rolling at home against a Falcons team that is like whatever.
Yeah, they can let up points, right? And I think Yaney's got a better defense there. I think, in this league overall, QB and defenses will win you games. And, everyone goes for the high-profile positions in wide receivers and running backs as you're building a team. Those are very important. But if you can separate yourselves in those two positions, quarterback and defense, I think you're gonna put up good weeks. And I'm not saying that Yanny is going to be in a position to have Garoppolo or Winston get more than Lamar. I think Lamar could light it up. I got a feeling that that Yanny is going to pull this one out, and then we're going to see. I think what would be a good finals matchup and probably a well deserved one with Hendry versus Yanny.
Yeah, I hear that. I'm down with that.
So
do we pick a Mo and a Dud or no? I don't know.
To me, the Mo is this matchup.
Yeah, the Mo is this one.
This one is the very interesting matchup. So as we're looking at here, like on the Monday Nighter, we got Kamara going on the Monday Nighter for Yaney. For Delhi. Yeah, my bad. And then nothing. Not even the Sunday Nighter for Yaney.
That'll be a hill to climb for. Imagine even needing 13 points from your running back on Monday night.
Well, it'd be good because I think
that'd be hell. That would be such hell.
I think
quarterback points. I said it last week. Quarterback points are the toughest to chase because they're supposed to be obvious.
Right.
But
it will be interesting because you've got Lamar. You got Lamar going on Thursday night, so people will be watching that game, and the Baltimore's defense, so people will obviously be watching that game. So that'll be interesting. So you know, both of them will be off the bat. I think both of those players, the defense and Lamar, will get a ton of points.
Yeah.
But yeah, then we'll be waiting to see how Kamara does on the Monday Nighter, right? In this matchup. So, you know, against Indy, which.
Because you know, Christian McCaffrey's just going to keep sticking it to me.
Yes. Yeah.
Fucking.
Did you pick Saquon just because his quads are the biggest quads in the history of the NFL?
I just wanted, like, the flashiest guy.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Anyways.
At least the guy I traded. The pick two is in the semis as well, so that's even better. That's great.
What now? I don't think anything's happening, but I know Jaywell and Gleeder want to get something going. What are they proposing here?
I don't know. I didn't read it. Did I read it?
So Gleeder's interested in some side bets.
Yeah.
Hendry
ruined that chat. That was a good chat till Hendry spoke.
That's probably par for a lot of times. He works a lot of conversations. So I don't know. So Hendry goes side bets like what? High week over 170?
He's obsessed with high weeks.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like maybe is that the only one he can like notice? Oh, I can tell that one's higher than everything. Look, mom, no hands.
And then would this be considered Pete Rose-esque? If I got went in on the action when it starts being presented, what like who? Where is this guy talking? Like, what throne is this guy on?
Yeah, I don't know. He's like, now he's deciding. Like, he already called it. He already said that this would be Pete Rose. Like early in the year, he said we called him not like he doesn't want to be Pete Rose.
Yeah.
Also, ask is ESQUE.
Oh, jeez. Prepared to hear that about 9:30 or so in the WhatsApp chat when Hendry talks about the clarification on the ESK to the ESQE. Anyways, all right. So I think that's pretty much it. We don't want to get too detailed tonight, but I think you know some of the things we do want to talk about is Bondos, and I think we're gonna. So far, the turnout's going to be looking good. Me and some of the boys are getting together for our annual Christmas thing, all the Invesco boys. So me, Deli, JWoww, Ozzy, and Stufart are together tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Which will be a lot of fun. And it'll be good to watch, be keeping tabs on that Baltimore Jets game. But yeah, then there's next weekend at Bondo's. Bondo is obviously going to be a very generous host. He's got two TVs going on. Not that that matters necessarily for football, but I think we'll have football on one screen and we'll have the hockey game on another screen. He always cooks up a good feast for the boys. So obviously we can talk, other GMs can talk about, you know, rule changes. I don't know if Yorki will be sending his email by that time. But it's always good to get everyone together on the final week of the season to kind of recap and just, you know, some good dialogue there. Cosby, are you going to be maybe kicking it out?
Yeah, that's the plan as of right now. I forgot there was 1 o'clock games. We got a regular Cosby family brunch with a friend of my pops, which is actually sort of on the way.
Nice.
So we're going to head up right after that. And then, going to get the fam settled at Luke's and then go from there.
Oh, beautiful. And then you and Hendry are coming over?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he asked if Evan wanted to come up, and I was like, hell no. Don't want to deal with that.
You got some other plans. Yeah, I got some other plans.
This is like a holiday for me. Mm-hmm. but it should be good.
Yeah, that's where everyone vacations to Barrie. Everyone vacations to Barrie.
Yeah, exactly. Bondo, obviously, Burnside. I'm assuming Ozzy will be there. I think Gleeder was talking about, I think he was mentioning about making the trip, I believe. J-Well, like all these guys, they can.
Maybe that's the 40-minute challenge is get your shit in order.
There you go. That's the 40-minute challenge. Who's going to Bondo's? Cosby and I are going. Yorkie's going.
Although maybe strike me from the list.
What do you mean strike you from the
list? I won't say I'm going so that when I said I was going to the Bills game, that was it for the Bills. No one wanted to go anymore.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know if I'll be there. Maybe I'll be there. I don't know. Everyone else go. And then
don't be so hard on yourself. The boys love you. And then now the last thing on the agenda is the hype train for the Leafs. Cosby, you wrote this agenda. So what are you referring to here?
I'm hearing a lot of things on the, there's radios and people talking and there's renewed excitement but also very cautious optimism, I feel like. So I had to get a Leaf fan's take on what's going on.
So yes.
Since we are the sixth sense.
The things are looking good in Leafs Nation right now. Tavares is sniping G's, which is amazing. Nylander's got some other hop to him. They're going to run into issues. If they're an injury away, if Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner, if they're one of those guys, like, I don't like to talk about injuries or whatever like that, but they're very top heavy, which is not necessarily a good thing going for long runs.
Yeah, and which was their plan too, right? Their plan. They didn't plan on having to go on a long run. They'd never planned for having to go on a long run.
Right. You'll need other guys to step up. I think Spetz is playing above his pay grade right now, which is awesome. I think we can get some consistency, get Keefe, get the system rolling, and I do like the way he's transitioning the team. He's not so rigid in his ways like Babcock is. It seems like he's more flexible to making in-game adjustments, which is amazing. And the fact that, you're gonna go as long as your goalie's gonna take you anywhere. And Freddie Anderson is, I'm not sure if he's, at the top right now, but he's definitely in the Vezina conversation, I believe. Maybe top five in the league. So, he made a couple saves. I didn't see all the game last night. They were in Vancouver last night, but in the third period, I heard that they let at least three breakaways on Freddie. And I saw one. I think it was Besser coming in, and Besser he's got a cannon and just a rocket of a snapper or a wrist shot, and he just let one go on a breakaway. Just from the slot, right at the hash marks, and Freddie just snapped it, just like there was no other nothing. Yeah,
Gleeder, like probably Gleeder esque.
Gleeder esque, yeah, or Esk.
Yeah, Gleeder. Depends who you ask.
Yeah, but no, like if that guy's on fire, which it seems like he's in the zone right now, and even the way he's talking between whistles to some of the D guys, he seems like he's in a different headspace right now, which is very important. Yeah. The only problem is, I feel like they gotta play that guy a ton because they got no one else that can play.
Oh, I've never heard more about backup. I've been tuning in and out to the like my level of paying attention now. So every time I tune in out, I think I've heard backup goalie points like more in the last 2 weeks than I ever have in my life. So,
oh yeah.
Where are they going to get the backup goalie points?
Well, I don't know. There's a backup in Pittsburgh that they're, I think it's, I don't even know what his name is. But anyways, there's, talk of him going, them going after him. I think even Carolina has a back. I don't even know if McElhinney's.
Be interesting if that's the piece they have to add. Like power to them, though. It means the rest of the guys are kicking ass. So
yeah, but if the thing is they add that piece, it's going to cost them. It's going to cost them Johansson, or it's going to cost them a Kapanen probably. I don't think when you look at the prospect pool, they're probably not going to give up Rasmus Sandin for a backup. Yeah.
No, they're going to Sandin's their love child.
Yeah, they're going to overpay for backup goalie, probably. Even in Montreal, Keith Kincaid cleared waivers a few weeks ago, so like they didn't take a flyer on him. I don't know, but they gotta. There's only certain how much. There's only a certain amount they can pay the backup goalie because they only have so much cap room. So,
yeah, get him some cap room, Kirk. You work it out. Work out the finances.
We need I think in future years, that's when it's going to, you know, hopefully benefits a little bit more. But, you know, paying those top four guys, you know, what they're paying is a lot. So, anyways, they're a fun team to watch. I do like the fact it was a little disappointing earlier in the season. I do like the fact that they seem to be back on track now and hopefully going in the right direction.
Yeah, so, it's always better. It's always better. But it's good. It's good to hear. Better. It's good to hear from someone who gives a shit. I like it. It's good.
Yeah, it definitely makes me feel better about my life when the Leafs are doing better. So
should we do a wraps update? I haven't looked. Feel better. Sorry, I missed your last comment. That's fantastic. It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
It's like so when your fantasy team does well. There was a couple Mondays, Kirky, this past winter where I was like, or this past season where I was like, I couldn't understand why on the Monday I was so pissed off. And then I like one of those fucking Yahoo alerts would come in. You lost to so and I'm like, that's why I'm fucking so angry.
Raptors lost by 20.
Eek.
Yeah, Kawhi had 23 points and 6 assists.
Okay.
And did you watch the ring ceremony when they gave him the ring?
No.
Yeah, so they had this little, you know, video montage of the season. Last season, it was pretty good.
Yep. Good.
And then he went and shook all the Raptors' hands, and then Kyle gave him the ring, and they kind of hugged it out and blah, blah, blah.
Beauty.
And then he said, you know, kind of put up his hand and said thank you to the crowd, and that was it. No mic.
Any booers?
Not that I could tell from what they showed. Yeah,
good.
I think most people would be pretty happy with
that. That's like a sigh of relief then, because that was my last thing. I'm glad we're talking about it to wrap up the sixth thing here.
Sorry.
But bless you, bless Kawhi as well. Wrap up the sixth sense on a note where it's like, I've always been the proponent of when I get scared when they're good, because then like the parade mishandling, like this was kind of like the last piece of this stuff now, where it's like, okay, they're champs now. Everything's done. There's no more stuff that someone can fucking fuck up or read the wrong name in the envelope or something stupid. Like try to fit a bus through a fucking, like that first corner in the parade was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. Like I turned it on at work and I was just howling, shaking my head.
Yeah, like, Yorkie was in it.
Yeah, but like fans, like it's like not even, it's not even on the organizers. It's like the fans just thinking, oh, we're going to stand here and it's going to be fine because this giant bus is coming. Has to do a hairpin turn out of the Prince's Gate.
Not just one, there's six.
Yeah. No, it's good shit. Good for them, though. Fucking go Raps. We'll see what, playing with house money for the next few years. So let's just fucking go.
That's for sure. Yeah. And even still, like they still have all their picks and they're going to be late first round picks. It's not like they mortgaged the future to get it. It's not like they did what the Clippers did and gave up, you know, 5 first round picks for Paul George, right? Like, you know, they got some young, good players. If Masai signs a long-term deal, he's got a contract for the next 2 years. I think, you know, Giannis is kind of on his radar right now to try to get him. So yeah, like they're a good team and I like watching the Raptors play. Right.
Yeah.
And they lost their best player, but they also won a championship. So
rings, baby, trophies, the Larry OB.
Yeah. And it was fun taking pictures with Larry OB on Sunday afternoon at York.
Yeah. We'll browse through those at Bondo's. I do look forward to seeing everyone at Bondo's. Some good league talk and good football. Hopefully the games are good and I'll probably do, everyone will make fun of me, but I'll do some ridiculous pro line props and see what happens.
Oh, I'm sure the bets will be flying.
Yeah.
And Cosby, nice chatting with you, and best of luck to the GM still in it this week.
Oh yeah, fuck it.
Hopefully we set the stage well so everyone kind of knows which games to watch, which players to watch, to make your weekend a little bit more exciting, even though the lion's share of the UFFL is not in it for keeps. Hopefully we're keeping the entertainment value high for everyone here. So Cosby, 7 more days, then we'll break down the championship round.
Yeah, and it'll be, no one will be more nervous than Hendry for the next week. So everyone else will enjoy it. I would say enjoy it more than him, but we'll definitely do that. And everyone else just, enjoy the games. Like I said, good football. Let's get some scoring going for all these matchups. And we'll go from there. Get your chips with your dip, boys.
Chips and a dip. All right, cuz. We'll chat to you in 7 days.
Ship it.